Chapter number 2. God is testing me versus the devil is tempting me. Man, I cannot recall how many times I drove down the same street. Weekdays, weekends. That same street became a part of a regular routine for me. The letters haunted me every time I passed by. You see, I didn't have the option to move nor find a different place to stay because I couldn't afford living expenses off the base. If I could afford it, trust me, there wouldn't be any hesitation from me relocated. But I couldn't, so I had to make do with the hand I was dealt with. During my stay in San Diego, I tried to maintain my church life as I did before I joined the military. I found a local church and attended Bible studies. I went to church regularly, even tried to connect with a youth department at a well-known church. But I found myself still fighting the same unhealthy appetite that was drowning me spiritually. It's funny. It was there I understood how it was possible for someone to live a double life and no one would know it. I mean, I was able to look clean while doing my dirt. While some have learned to live with theirs, I couldn't handle the weight of guilt it gave me. The pressure produced from my unhealthy appetite made it very difficult to focus on pleasing God in my life. I had to get real with myself and consider how to break this sinful pattern of self-indulgence that led to a life of sin. In my early walk with the Lord, I thought the way you break this kind of habit was to get involved at church, and eventually it should fall off of me like snow off of a mountain. But it didn't. Being in church only gave me an easier avenue to hide the problem I faced. You know what? I then began to assume maybe the Lord was testing me. Maybe it was the Lord using this sinful craving to be my sort of thorn in the flesh. I remembered reading the story of the Apostle Paul, who prayed to the Lord 3 times to remove his thorn in the flesh, and the Lord didn't, because he told Paul that his grace was sufficient. So I thought to myself, well, I surpassed Paul because I think I prayed like 300 times to the Lord to remove this desire, and the Lord didn't. So maybe the Lord was testing me, using this appetite for flesh indulgence to build my faith and keep me humble, develop me as a man of God. My friends, you may feel the way I felt. Maybe you think the testing in your flesh is meant to develop you in your faith. I mean, why else would God not remove it, right? Maybe the Lord placed this thorn in our flesh so we could learn to be more productive and effective spiritually. I remember once hearing a message from Bishop Noel Jones regarding the battle between flesh and spirit. And he made a reference that he once had a conversation with God, and it went a little like this.
Lord, why not just disconnect my flesh? That would be a whole lot more useful. Just disconnect my flesh and cut it off out of my life. I said, yes, that's it. Lord, just disconnect my flesh. I mean, I could actually live the confession, I give myself away.
So then I began to contemplate to the Lord. God, aren't you tired of the rerun episodes of me coming back to you, repeating the same prayers, asking you to forgive me for what I did last night and for what I'm thinking about doing later on? God, aren't you tired of me walking down the same dark street knowing there is a brick wall at the end of it? Why not just send a detour my way so this wouldn't happen anymore. Lord, aren't you tired? Finally, I believe God got tired of me complaining and responded, aren't you? Was I tired? Of course I am. This is why I've asked you to do something about this. God, if this is a test, then something needs to change. It's funny. The Lord never responded after that one. As they say, I felt a certain way about it. I mean, I thought to myself, why would God ask me if I was tired of what I was doing? I mean, it's like me getting slapped in the face and you ask me, do I want you to stop?
No. Please
keep slapping me. I enjoy my face turning red and it's stinging from the pain of your slap. Please continue. Of course, I'm being sarcastic, but that's how I felt. It took me nearly 6 to 8 years to realize why the Lord asked me if I was tired of it. Here it is. You ready for this? What I went through was never his fault. I put myself through it. See, I soon realized the author of my temptations wasn't the Lord. The idea of God tempting me to build my faith sounded understandable at the time. But now as I look back on it, I realize how dumb I was for thinking it. No disrespect if you thought it was God tempting you in building your faith. Let's go to the scriptures. James chapter 1, verse 13. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. I mean, what else can I say about this? I found myself first in Genesis, reminiscing about Adam and Eve. Consider this. The Lord was not testing Adam and Eve's faith by tempting them to disobey himself. Does that make sense? Matthew chapter 4. Jesus in the wilderness was not being tempted by his father through the devil. Does that make sense? No. You see, testing comes from God, but temptation comes from Satan. What I failed to realize is that there is a difference between the Lord is testing me from the devil is tempting me. Yeah, there is a distinction. And it is your responsibility to learn and understand the difference. I need you to be honest. How many of us fall in sin, making God the author of the temptations merely because he allowed it? How many of us have made God the one to blame because of the conflict that we feel between flesh and spirit? Now think about this. How would you feel if you were blamed because of someone else's bad decisions and poor choices? When I realized this truth, I felt horrible. I felt horrible because I thought about how often the Lord has been blamed for something he didn't even do. Yeah, he allowed it to happen, but on your expense. Think about this. Free will is a gift, but also is a curse, because it can cause God to relinquish his hand from directing you, leaving you to deal with the consequences brought on by your free will. This is why it's crucial for you to know who and what has the most influence to cause you to make decisions you may later regret. Knowing who has the most influence in your life can help you determine what to do when pestered by the reoccurring cravings of your flesh. Let me share this as well. Making regrettable decisions caused by toxic influences leaves you dealing with major repercussions. This is why guilt and shame is so detrimental. Because it influences not just what you think, but it influences how you see yourself. But I want you to be encouraged, friends. As God's child, You've got to realize how he sees you will not change because of a reoccurring appetite. You see, if what you did would cause the Lord's love to be changed, he would not have expressed his amazing love for you in the first place. He would have reserved his agape love for those who would never make a mistake. I mean, why would he set himself up for failure in loving someone who always cheated on him? Let me ask you, would you stay in a relationship with someone who constantly cheated on you? No. But this is the true meaning of God's agape love, where his love is not hinged on what you do, but on who you are and who you belong to. Now, keep this in mind. Your sins, when fully grown, brings forth death, which means the Lord will love you all the way to hell if that is the result of your unrepented sins. So now I ask you, does the love of God still have any effect on you? Or is God's love of no effect, unable to draw you back to him? Let's go to scriptures. James chapter 1, verse 2. The Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Now, this is what I remember first learning while dealing with my lust. The author James, who was an apostle, this is also Jesus' earthly brother, who was converted after witnessing Jesus was raised from the dead. In this scripture, he taught me to find joy when I am tempted. So with this scripture, I originally thought, I need to learn to find joy when I fall into temptations. But as I grew older, I realized this word temptation, in its original context, was not a reference to me being tempted by alluring me to sin. If it were, it would be contradicting to the verses of James 1, 12 to 19. So with some more careful consideration, I realized that word temptations was a reference to trials or the testing of one's character. Look at verse 2. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience or endurance. Now, I can see God in that. Basically, what we're saying is the testing of my character is meant to produce something in me that I need in my walk with Christ. Suffering, challenges, when my money is a little funny, when my car is acting up, when the person at the DMV or bank gives me an attitude. We may need to consider, my friends, that it is a test or trial of our character to fortify and strengthen our faith. I mean, how else are you able to develop patience unless you learn to wait on the Lord? Common scripture, Isaiah 40, 29 through 31. He gives power to the weak. He increases the strength of him who has no might. Even the youths faint and get weary, and the young men utterly fall. But those who wait for the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. This is the Lord's aim. This is who he is and what he does. He tests you to develop and build your faith in him. But on the other side of the spectrum, we are tempted. Temptations are similar to tests or trials, but with a different focal point. Now, while the Lord tests you to develop your faith, the enemy is tempting you to bring you to your fate. You see, the Lord would never tempt you to draw you to your death. That's the devil's job. He comes in to steal, kill, and destroy. The Lord tempts no one, nor can be tempted. But we are drawn away by our own desires and enticed or entrapped by them. We find that in the scriptures of James 1 and 15. Then the lust, when it has conceived, bears sin. And the sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. My friends, this is what the devil does, not God. The enemy tempts you through the lust in your heart to cause you to sin. And in your sin, it can lead to your death. Every time I indulged in my craving, I felt more and more death in my spirit, man. Man, the guilt tied with the shame was drowning my spirit under my sins. And what makes this worse? You honestly feel as though this is how your life will always be. In my sins, I honestly began to accept my fate because I found it almost impossible to let go of the desires brought on by my lust. So the Lord asked me, "Are you tired of it?" I realized that he asked me this to help me identify it wasn't his fault that I was there. But I also realized he asked me to show me that there was still hope. Yeah, even in all my sins, God said to me, "There is still hope." My friends, can you have the faith to believe that things can change even from here? Can you accept the possibility that things don't have to end here? Can you commit to enduring the sufferings of this present time to believe you still can come out victorious even from this? My prayer for you is that you refuse to allow the temptations from the devil to manipulate you to think, first, that God is to blame. You see, he tried that trick on Adam and Eve, questioning God's word and will for them. His temptations thrive on you suppressing the truth to conform to his lies. That's his aim and his purpose. But I pray you understand and discern in your life the difference between the weapons used to allure you to sin versus the tools used to develop your faith. My friends, don't ever forget, you're not the only one facing what you're faced with. James 1 and 14 says, every man and woman is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Your responsibility is to value the developing of your faith more than the sins drawing you to your fate.